All right, how's it going, friends? Welcome to the first Summer Shoreline. How are we feeling? Yeah. we got a couple of people that are awake. I'm glad you're here. Grab your Bible, grab your journal, and let's get ready to learn together. If we have not met, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I get to lead here with the Shoreline Ministry along with Kaylee and Will and all of your small group leaders. And during the summer, we have some summer interns who are serving and leading with us as well, and it is a joy and a privilege to be here with y'all. I'm so glad every single one of you is here. Let me start with a story. A story that I regret, but I think is a helpful one as we journey through the book of Proverbs this summer. So here's a picture of me when I was in high school. I am at the bottom right corner throwing up the gang signs. Let that be a lesson to you that you don't ever look as cool as you think you do. All you need is a couple of years to pass by and then look at those old photos and go, what was I thinking? So this was my group of friends at school that were different from my church friends. I was a follower of Jesus. I went to youth group. I was probably pretty similar to a lot of you guys. And then one day, one of our friends was moving away. I grew up in the Caribbean. I grew up in St. Martin, if you don't know that detail about me. And so our friend on the far left, he was leaving to move to another Caribbean island. And so we decided to celebrate by bringing a bunch of alcohol onto our high school campus. And so we had an outdoor cafeteria and our picnic bench. We would take it from like where everyone else was sitting and we would put it at the back of the cafeteria because we wanted to be away from everyone else to just hang because where the cool kids hung out. And so we were back there. We were eating our sandwiches we had gotten from the cafeteria and we were, I'm not kidding you, sitting there drinking alcohol in high school. And we're enjoying our time. And all of a sudden, the security guard from our school walks around the corner, and he walks up to all of us, and he doesn't say a word. He just pulls out his notepad, and he's like, give me all of your names. And so, you know, he goes to the first person. They give a fake name. He goes to the next person. They give a fake name. He goes to all of these people. There was like eight of us probably, and I was the last one to go. What do you think I did? I gave him my real name. And it's so interesting that at that moment in time, after we had done all of these things that clearly we weren't supposed to do, that I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell the truth when everyone else is telling the lie. So anyways, he takes all of our names, and we're like, we got to get rid of this evidence. So we put it all in one of our backpacks, and there's this huge wall at the back of the school. We throw it over the wall to get rid of the evidence so we wouldn't get in trouble. Of course, we had already gotten in trouble. And we went to the principal's office. He called all of our parents. My mom was losing her mind, as she should. And then we got picked up from school, and we all got suspended, mercifully, for 3 days. We didn't get expelled. We didn't get in any more trouble other than being suspended for 3 days. And the reason I tell you that story is because when all of that was happening with these friends and others, I was a follower of Jesus. And I was participating in an activity that I knew was unhealthy, illegal, and unwise at the very basis, right? I was not being an example of someone who is a follower of Jesus. I knew I shouldn't have been there. I knew I shouldn't have been drinking. I knew I should have said something to my friends. All along the way, I knew I wasn't doing the right thing, but I still did it anyway. I was there fully participating. Can you relate to that story? Maybe not that exact scenario, but maybe you found yourself dabbling in or seeking out pornography. You know you shouldn't. You know it's wrong or it's harmful, but still you're doing it. Maybe you found yourself in a Snapchat conversation with inappropriate pictures being sent or just an inappropriate, not helpful discussion that you shouldn't be having. But you're still doing it anyway. Maybe you found yourself at a party that you know you shouldn't be at, engaging in things that you know you shouldn't be engaging in. Or maybe you found yourself feeling superior and better than the people around you because of the lifestyle choices that they're choosing to make that you're not making. So if you found yourself, if you find yourself knowing what the right thing is, but somehow still choosing something different, this summer series is for you. This chapter of Proverbs that we're going to work our way through is for you. So our series for the summer is called A Word to the Wise, where we're going to be walking our way through the book of Proverbs, and we're going to get some godly advice for our daily life. We'll get some godly advice for our daily life from God's word, from the book of Proverbs. If you're not familiar, the book of Proverbs is written by King Solomon. He is the son of David. He is the third king of Israel. And when God asked him what if he could have anything in the world, what he would want to have, and he said, I would love to have wisdom. Not riches, not fame, not all sorts of possessions. I want to be wise. And so we know him as the wisest man who ever lived, right? And he wrote the book of Proverbs early on in his reign as the king of Israel. Now, a proverb, just so we're all on the same page, a proverb is a short sentence that conveys a moral truth, right? You've heard of different proverbs, even outside of the Bible, but just like a short, pithy statement that conveys something about life, explains what life is like, or explains how you should live. And in a similar way, the book of Proverbs, if you will, is a collection of short sentences that convey moral truth. But even with that, I want to say that this isn't a rule book. God isn't expecting you, or his ultimate goal isn't for you to behave. God's goal isn't behavior modification. I want to be as clear as possible. His goal is for you to enjoy being in his presence and being in relationship with him. That's why he sent his son Jesus, because he wanted to be in a relationship with you, and he wanted you and I to live our lives the way life was truly meant to be lived before it was tainted by sin and the brokenness of this world. And so we're going to answer a specific question from Proverbs chapter 1, which is this: how do I choose wisdom when I'd rather choose something else? How do I choose wisdom when I'd rather choose something else? And the way we're going to do that is we're going to look at three things to understand about wisdom that will help you choose wisdom. So if you find yourself in a situation like I was, where you could have chosen the right thing, but you really want to choose something else, here are three things that you need to understand about wisdom that will help you to choose it. The first we'll look at is what wisdom is. Then we'll look at one big reason you and I reject wisdom. And then lastly, we'll look at what happens when we choose wisdom, okay? What wisdom is, one big reason we reject it, and then what happens when we choose it. So let's jump into point number one, what wisdom is. Turn with me in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 and then verse 7 as it just kind of outlines and gives us a general idea of what wisdom is. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translation for those of you who are looking at the Bible on your phone, or you can look at it up on the screen, but just wanted you to know just in case you have a different version. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 7. It says this: these are the proverbs of Solomon, David's son, the king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right and just and fair. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And so he kind of introduces a couple of concepts in verse 7 in particular. Solomon says that the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, and that fools despise wisdom. So he introduces this idea of knowledge, and he introduces this idea of wisdom. And I think both are very important for us to define and understand. So let me help you understand the difference and to define both knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is having the facts of life, while wisdom is applying God's facts to your life. So knowledge is having information. Knowledge is understanding the way you should live, understanding the way you should order your life, and wisdom is actually applying it. Wisdom is actually putting it into practice in your life. Does that make sense? I think an easy way to illustrate it, just to make sure we're on the same page here, is a picture of my son, of course. Here he is. His name is Winslow. He's 16 months old, and he does not have a ton of knowledge. He crawls around our house, and he tries to destroy everything in his path. And so very early on, we had to get the plugins that you put in all of the sockets in your house, because when they weren't there, he would climb, he would crawl up to them, try to put his finger in it, try to put his tongue in it, because he doesn't know if you put your tongue into an electric outlet, you're probably going to get shocked, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to be harmful to you. We had to get these magnets that kind of lock cabinet doors so that he couldn't get to all of our utensils or to like our kitchen stuff that if he drank, it would be really harmful to him. Because he lacks knowledge, we have to protect him from those things. But now imagine you guys, after this, you hung out with us at Summer Shoreline, you went to dinner with us at In-N-Out, and when you went home tonight, you're talking to your parents, talking to your siblings, and you just walk over to the side, and you just start trying to stick your tongue into the electric outlet. Exactly. Your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, whoever would just be like, what is wrong with you? What is going on? Are you okay? Right? Because they know that you have the knowledge to not do that, right? But if you don't apply those facts to life, you don't have wisdom. And it's the same with way more significant things that we actually do in our lives. I read this quote while I was preparing for this message, and it's this: knowledge is plentiful, but wisdom is scarce. Knowledge is plentiful, but wisdom is scarce. We live in an information age where you can have any information about anything that you want to know about, you know, just like that, right? You want to solve that math problem that you can't figure out, internet. You want to find that summary of that book that you forgot to read internet. Anything, any question you have about anything, you can find it. Knowledge is plentiful, but wisdom is scarce, right? And even in that story that I told from my experience, I knew that it was illegal to have, you know, alcohol on a school campus. I knew it was illegal to drink underage. I knew I should have said something to my friends or at least removed myself from the situation, but I didn't. I had all the knowledge, but wisdom was non-existent. And so I want to maybe challenge you a little bit with this question. Where in your life, is knowledge plentiful, but wisdom is missing? And I don't want you to just like think of some easy answer or think of something that someone else might say. I want you to think about you and your life and your experience. Maybe today, maybe this last week, where in your life is knowledge plentiful, but wisdom is missing? So wisdom is applying God's facts to your life. Number two, the second thing to understand about wisdom is to help you choose it is to understand one big reason you and I often reject wisdom. And so look again with me at Proverbs chapter 1. We'll read verses 10 through 15. And I want you to pay attention to what Solomon, the idea he's trying to convey. I want you to look for the theme in these verses that might be that big reason you and I reject God's wisdom and often go our own way, okay? Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. Says this in verse 10, "My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, 'Come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death.'" Verse 13, "Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come, throw in your lot with us. We'll share all the loot." Verse 15, "My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths." If you're paying attention or if you're looking for a theme in the midst of those verses, in verse 11, it says, "Come and join us." In verse 13, it says, "Think of the great things we'll get." In verse 14, it says, "Come throw in your lot with us." Over and over, you see this idea in this story that Solomon is telling to illustrate the point that there's a group of people who are inviting you, inviting me, to do things that we probably shouldn't do. But that's not the most attractive part. The most attractive part is that you're being invited into a community, is that you're being invited into a group. Does that make sense? Come and join us. Think of all the things we're going to get. Come, let's enjoy this all together. And so it's not, probably most of you aren't like, "Yeah, sign me up to go ambush someone or to beat someone up or to kill them." The majority of us aren't in on that, I hope. But the part that we are in on is come and join us, right? So here's one big reason I think that we reject wisdom. One big reason we reject wisdom is to fit in. Now, there's other reasons, of course, that we choose to reject God's way. We might be angry, we might be hurt, we might be frustrated, we might be discouraged, and those things might motivate us. Excuse me, might motivate us to disobey God. But I think from this proverb, it's really reading our mail and being honest with us and calling us out that one of the main reasons we reject God's wisdom is because we want to fit in. And that's totally normal. Everyone wants to fit in. It's a natural human desire. We're literally made for community, so we should want to fit in. Tell me if I'm wrong. Some of the clothes that you've bought, some of the clothes maybe that you're wearing right now, is because you bought it to wear it so you could fit in, so you can be a part of the crew. Some of the technology that you own, your phone or video games or whatever else it might be, you bought it or you own it, you have it, so that you can fit in. Some of you have even watched TV shows you don't even like or YouTube channels that you don't even like because, you know, the majority of your friends like it, and you want to fit in, so you watch it. I know, like, even for me, when I think about high school, you saw that picture earlier, we had to wear a uniform to school every day, a white shirt, button-up shirt with our crest of our school on the pocket, and navy pants. So the only way for you to express yourself was with your shoes. And so one of the years during high school, these shoes were so popular. I mean, everyone had them. I know you're looking at them and you're like, "What are those?" And I agree. But in 2001, when I was in high school and all the cool kids at school had, they're called Buffalinos. You can look them up. You can still buy them if you want to. In 2001, when I was in high school and all the cool kids were wearing those shoes, guess what I wanted to do? I begged my mom, "Please, mom, you've got to get me some Buffalinos," because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be a part of the crowd. I say all that to say, obviously, every one of us wants to fit in some way. We want to be a part of a community. But many teenagers get caught up in sin just because they want to fit in. Like that was me in that story I told at the beginning. Many teenagers get caught up in sin just because they want to fit in. And the truth is that sin promises you community, it promises you fun, it promises you prosperity, and you might experience those things for a little while, for a little bit, but they never last. Sin ultimately robs you of the very things that you wanted in the first place. It ultimately steals the community you want. It ultimately steals the fun and the prosperity that you crave. One verse that kind of illustrates this that's not in Proverbs is Psalm 16, verse 4. I'd recommend and encourage that you memorize it. It says this: troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. What does the psalmist mean by other gods? Anything or anyone that we place or we value as number one in our lives, more important than God, more important than following him. And it says that anything that we chase, whether it be fitting in or anything else, your troubles will multiply. Galatians 1:10 is another verse that I think is really helpful on this topic. And it says this, the Apostle Paul writing to this church, he says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Far too often, my goal is to please people. And maybe some of you in this room, far too often, your goal is to please people. How will they view me? How will I be welcomed in? What do I need to do to be a part of the group? How do I need to look? How do I need to speak? What do I need to fill my life with? But it's an interesting contrast that the Apostle Paul has in this verse. He says, if pleasing people is your goal, he would not be a servant of Christ. And so it's like those two things are mutually exclusive. You can't be completely in on pleasing people and serving Christ at the same time. Does that make sense? So that's what he's saying, that one of the big reasons or the main reasons that we reject wisdom is because we want to fit in. And I want to say that's a normal, natural thing. But if it leads you to sin, you're going to come up empty. And the things that you crave and want and desire are the very things that it's going to steal from you. So here's a specific question on that one. What unhealthy people are you involving yourself with because you just want to fit in? What people are you with or you know or you spend time with and they're like, hey, come do this. They might not be telling you, hey, let's go ambush someone, but they might be encouraging you and inviting you to do something, to say something, to be someone, or to participate in something that you know you shouldn't if you're a follower of Jesus. And maybe those people are pulling you away from the wisdom that you know you truly should experience. So what unhealthy people are you involving yourself with just because you want to fit in? So that's the second thing that you need to understand about wisdom, the big reason that we often reject it. And then lastly, what happens when we choose wisdom? What happens when we choose wisdom? Proverbs chapter 1 gives us the answer. I'll look at a couple verses and then give you some application, and we'll be out of here. Go get some in and out. Proverbs 1, verses 23 and 33. Verse 23 says this. This is wisdom speaking to us, inviting us to embrace God's facts in your life. Verse 23. Come and listen to my counsel. I will share my heart with you and will make you wise. And then verse 33 says this, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. I love that verse. All who listen to me, all who embrace wisdom, all who don't let fitting in lead them to sin, but instead choose God's wisdom, apply God's facts to life. All who listen to me will live in peace. Do you want to live in peace? I know you do. Do you want to live a life where you're untroubled by fear of harm? I know you do. But that kind of life is reserved for people who choose wisdom, right? And so those who choose wisdom will enjoy God. They'll be marked by peace and be filled with bravery. Those who choose wisdom will enjoy God, will experience a relationship with him that we were always meant to experience. And they'll be marked by peace, and they'll be filled with bravery to endure and experience all of the ups and downs, the highs and lows that life may bring your way. So, if you want that, if you want that kind of life, choose wisdom. And if you want to choose wisdom, or if you want to do it, choose wisdom in increasing measure. Here are a couple pieces of advice that I'll leave you with, and then we'll pray and be done. The first point of application is this: pray for wisdom. If you want wisdom, if you want to choose it, if you want to reject the notion of fitting in and doing whatever it takes to fit in, pray for wisdom. Here's an amazing verse with an amazing promise that God always answers, like 100% of the time. Look at James 1, verse 5. It says this: if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Like, this is not a prayer that God answers with no, or maybe, or not yet. His answer is always yes to the prayer for wisdom, to the prayer for living how God would invite and instruct you to live. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. That's an amazing promise. If you need it, it's readily available to you. So pray for wisdom. The second point of application is to choose wisdom, because it's never too early or never too late. Choose wisdom. It's never too early. It's never too late. Maybe you haven't made a ton of big mistakes or mistakes in your life that have marked you. And I want to say praise God that he's protected you from making choices that would have been hurtful and harmful in your life. But it's never too early to choose wisdom. And wherever you've been, whatever you've done, however you've lived your life, whatever mistakes that you've made, it's never too late to choose wisdom. It's never too late. I think of later on in high school, after that story where I was drinking alcohol in school, we would have these end-of-the-year parties in some of our classes at school. And, teachers wouldn't be in the classrooms. It would just be students. We'd be playing music. The windows would be closed. It would be dark. You can imagine what's happening in a room full of teenagers, unsupervised, with music, in the dark. I don't need to go into any more detail. And, some of my friends were like, hey, you should come to this party. It's going to be so fun. It's a great end to the school year. Come hang. And, man, I remember, thinking in that moment of times in the past where I had been unwise, like the story I told. And in that moment, by God's grace, through his provision of wisdom, because he always answers that prayer with a yes, I said, no, I'm good. And, I went and did other things because I knew what I was walking into if I went into that room. So I chose wisdom, even though I had made choices in the past to not choose wisdom. So I want to encourage you that no matter how many times you've chosen to not embrace wisdom, you can still start today. And lastly, surround yourself with wise people. Surround yourself with wise people. If you want to be wise, if you want to choose wisdom, you want to be surrounded by others who are encouraging you towards that, who are choosing that for themselves, who want your help and who you can help to walk with Jesus, who you can help to choose wisdom, who can help you, and you can help them apply God's facts to life. So pray for wisdom, choose wisdom, and surround yourself with wise people. And so, in summary, the godly advice for your daily life from Proverbs chapter 1 is to choose wisdom over choosing to fit in. Choose wisdom over choosing to fit in. It's never a bad deal to choose wisdom, to choose God, and to choose his way. And I truly pray that you believe that at the bottom of your hearts, and that you live that and you embrace that today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next. Let me pray that you would. God, thank you for these students. And thank you for this opportunity to learn from your word. Thank you for Proverbs 1. Thank you for King Solomon and the wisdom that he imparts to us. I pray that every single one of us would choose to apply your facts to our lives, not to be better, not to do better, not to modify our behavior, but because you love us and you demonstrated your love through your son Jesus in sending him to live and die and raise again from the dead so that we can have new life. And God, I pray for every one of these students that their lives would be marked by the peace, the bravery, and the enjoyment of you that comes with choosing wisdom. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all, that's it. We'll be back here in this room at 6 next Wednesday evening. But we want to invite you to be here for Bagels and Bible on Monday at 10 a.m. Right now, we're heading right across 635 to In-N-Out Burger. We'd love to see y'all there. We'll see you soon.